Thank Pastor for the opportunity to share the Word of God with you. You have to bear with me. My voice is going through this weather change thing, and it might go in and go out and come in and come back out, and you know, but the Lord's in control, and well, thank God for salvation tonight, amen. Just got back from a camp meeting up in North Carolina. Heard a lot of good preaching, and the best thing about it is coming home, the only thing I could think about was how good God is. No matter what happens in this life, no matter the direction the world's going, no matter what's happening inside the church, no matter what's happening out there, there is one person that is always faithful, and that is Jesus Christ. And he deserves everything that we have. He deserves everything that we have in our life. He deserves our money. He deserves our actions. He deserves our desires. We ought to want to be in the will of God, no matter where that takes us, no matter where that what that looks like, no matter what, we should just want to do our best to serve Jesus Christ. And I hope that I can point you to the cross tonight. If you have your Bibles, open to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 4. I love this chapter. It's a chapter of the Bible that comes to my mind very often. I read it and I try to get more out of it each and every time. There's a lot in it. I'm going to try to go through most of the chapter if we can. 1 Peter chapter number 4, the Bible says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." Meaning, when we decide to crucify our flesh, then we can therefore live in the will of God and do what God wants us to do. But before then, we have to give up something. And we have to give up the desires of our flesh, the desires of what we want. In verse number 3, the Bible says, "For the time past for our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revealing banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that we run not with them, to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." That means when we decide to be in the will of Christ, and we decide, hey, I don't want to sin as much as I've been sinning, I want to be in the will of God, then at that point, the people in that world will look at you and say, "Wow, why are you acting like that?" And they will mock you, and they will think strange things of you. Let's pray, and you may be seated. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for another day of life. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach your word. I pray that you would hide me behind the cross. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. It's in your Son's perfect and precious name I pray. Amen and amen. I want to look at a few things in this chapter of what the Lord has revealed to me personally. And the choice I see in this chapter for us as believers is to choose to be in the will of Christ. But if we choose to be in the will of Christ, if you were here last time I had the opportunity to preach, I talked about living like Christ was crucified. And tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about what it looks like when we truly decide to choose that life of living like Christ was crucified and some of the things that come with that. In verse 3 and 4 of this chapter, we see rejection. We see rejection. When you choose to live for Christ, you see a rejection of this world. You see, the world doesn't understand where our joy comes from. The world doesn't understand why we act the way we act if you're in the will of God. Because you'll have a joy on you that just surpasses everything. And we'll get there later. But I want to point out that when you decide to choose the will of Christ, the world will reject you. They hate us. They hate what we're doing in here. They hate that we want to point people to the cross. They hate what we do. With choosing to serve Christ comes rejection. People are watching the way we react. People are watching the Christians. And they reject us. And sometimes they mock you just to see your reaction, Christian. Because a lot of times your character does not come from what you decide to do first thing in the morning. But your character sometimes comes from when somebody does something to you or says something to you. Or when you're in the hospital and you don't know why this is happening to your family or to your life or why you're down in the lowest valley of your life. People are watching a Christian's reaction. A, because they can see if you have something different or they can see if you're just like them. And what we as Christians need to do, choosing to be in the will of Christ, is that when other people look at us, even when we're in the lowest of a valley, they should be able to say, wow, they have a joy even in this lowest valley. The rejection will come, but what will your reaction be when this world decides to reject you? Because it will reject you. Every time you choose Christ, something will reject you. A job, a person, a friend. Sometimes when you truly sell out for God, someone who you thought was a brethren in your life will reject you at that point. When you decide, I'm going to sell out for God, and I'm going to do everything in my will to serve the Lord with what he wants me to do. Someone that you think was your best friend, somebody that you think loved you more than anybody, sometimes will turn against you and say, that's ridiculous. that rejection will come in your life, and your reaction determines your relationship with Jesus Christ, friend. Your reaction determines if you're in the will of God. Along with rejection, we see a relationship in this chapter. We see a relationship. In verse 6 and 7, we see two different relationships, actually. We see a relationship with the Spirit of God. We see a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 6 and 7 of the same chapter, For this cause was the gospel preached also unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. As a Christian, to live in the will of God, you have to be living with the Spirit. Living in the Spirit, you have to let the Spirit of God lead you and guide you and make your decisions for you. In a sense, when it looks like you don't know why you're making this decision, but the Holy Ghost is the one saying, this is the decision you need to make, that relationship is so important, because when you decide to have a right relationship with Jesus Christ, then we see the other relationship in this passage, and that's a relationship with the church. And this is going to get a little, this is stepping on people's toes here in a minute, because the Lord tells us in verse number 8 of this chapter, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sin. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Use hospitality to one another without grudging, friend. What does that mean? That means in order for you to live in the will of Christ, the way you want to live, and the way the Lord needs you to live, to make a difference in this world that's dying and going to hell. Because above all things, the most important thing in this life as a believer is to point people to the cross. You cannot point somebody to the cross if you are grudging a member of Christ's church. You cannot truly be in the will of Christ and show the true hospitality you're supposed to show one to another if you're grudging. You cannot have the relationship you are supposed to have with Jesus Christ if you have aught in your life towards somebody else. Because in order to have that relationship with Christ and follow Him in the will that He has for your life, you have to have a clean heart and a clean soul. And you need to wash the sin with the blood of Jesus Christ and get up and say, now show me where to go, without any grudging towards your brethren. Without, no matter what happened, look past it. You cannot serve Christ the way you ought to if you're grudging a brother and sister. Amen. Somebody who is in the church may hurt you. They may do something that you just don't understand why they did it. But the Bible tells us with charity and with hospitality and grudging is how we ought to love each other and care for each other. I believe the Lord tells us to have charity because we're selfish. We have this problem in the church today, the I disease, the me disease, the me. What will they think about me? Where will I go? Who will want me to do something next? What about me? I'm tired of hearing, what about me? What about Christ? What about what your will is for Jesus Christ? What does Christ want me to do? Not what do I want to do? What do I want to do for Christ? What do I want to do? What does Christ want you to do for Him? Amen. Maybe Christ wants you to help somebody else. And right now He has you in a valley so that they can look at you and say, you know what? The reaction of that believer is to choose the will of God even when they're in a hard time. Even when they don't understand what's happening, even when the rejection comes, they choose that relationship with God. They choose that relationship with the church. They choose to love each other. We need to love each other. I need to come in here and say, I love you, brother. I love you. And if I need something, can I come to you? Absolutely. And if I've ever taken in a fault, can you restore a brethren? Can you help me? That's how the church needs to be. We need to be that with everybody. Please, if Brother Tom, if I fall, please. We need each other. We need to put ourselves aside and quit being selfish and realize that we need to be in the will of God, having hospitality without grudging towards one another. We see the relationship with Christ. We see the relationship with the brethren and with the church. And in verse number 10 and 11, I was reading this earlier, just today actually, and I realized that I see a responsibility. I see a responsibility in this chapter of the Bible. I see the responsibility of the Lord saying in verse number 10 and 11, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Verse number 11 says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man speak,
anybody. If any man speak, let him speak of the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So all things can be glorified for Jesus' sake, not for us, not for selfish reason, not for what we want, for what we desire, but the responsibility we have as a believer is every word that comes out of our mouth ought to glorify and edify the Savior, Jesus Christ. We ought not be talking about anything that this world has to offer, but we ought to be talking about Jesus, and in everything you do, every day, life, Jesus Christ needs to be glorified in your speech. You will be rejected when that happens. Amen. When you decide to stop talking in that vulgarity, when you decide to stop talking about people, when you decide to stop talking about certain people when you're with other groups of people, when you decide to start doing that, you will be rejected. You will be rejected. The church will not like it sometimes. Yeah. But this is what God tells us to do. This is what the Savior tells us to do. He tells us that our responsibility, no matter what, when the relationships fail, when the rejection comes, we are to speak the oracles of God to glorify the Savior. We all have the I disease. Me, 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 I. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? It's not about you. It's not about me either. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about being in the will of Jesus Christ. You have to do these things in order to truly be fully sold out in the will of Christ. Because this is what the Bible tells us to do. And this Bible is our instruction manual for life. I say it every time I'm up here. This is our instruction manual for life. This tells us what we need to do, where we need to go, how we need to act, the friends we need to have, what we need to say, what we need not to say. This is our directions right here. Right here. And a lot of us don't even read it as we should. We've never even read the Bible all the way through. We don't even try to understand the Bible. We don't even try to know what we believe. In today's world, we as Christians need to know what we believe. We need to know our doctrine. We need to know why we believe what we believe. Not just because another man believes it, but because when pastor gets up here and preaches, I have high respect for him. In these meetings I go to, everybody knows him. I mean, everybody. I'm not kidding. They ask me to get up and they say, tell us where you're from. Lucas Aikman, Knoxville, Tennessee, Temple Baptist Church, Pastor Charles Lawson. Everybody, oh my goodness, Pastor Lawson. And 90% of the time, it's out of the utmost respect. But even when this man gets up and preaches and teaches to you, you need to go home and believe it for yourself. Not because he said it, but because you said, you know what, that interested me. And I need to make sure that this is what I believe. I need to make sure that this is what God is telling us through the scripture. I do believe that he studies and wants to teach us the true Bible, but you need to know it for yourself to be in the will of God. Otherwise, you're just walking in the dark. You're just walking in the dark. I see a rejoicing in this passage. I've been pretty negative, I guess you could say, in the last few points with the seeing all the things that we see, a rejection, a relationship that sometimes we don't want to have, and it's hard to have that relationship. And then we see a responsibility, and a lot of times we try not to live up to our responsibilities. We don't want that responsibility because, oh, it's just a little too hard. It's just a little too hard to be different. It's just a little too inconvenient to live like Christ. It's just a little too inconvenient not to do what my friends do. It's just a little too inconvenient to come to church when I need to go to church. It's just a little too inconvenient not to drink when I'm out with my friends, and I know I ought not do that. It's just a little inconvenient not to smoke when I'm out with my friends, and I know I ought not do that. It's just a little too inconvenient not to gossip when everybody else is wanting to gossip and talk about this and talk about that and do this and do that and do this and do that. Choose Christ. Choose to be in the will of God. There is a rejoicing that comes through this, friend. Through the suffering, through everything that happens, there is a rejoicing. Why do I choose to suffer and crucify my flesh? Why should we choose to crucify our flesh? Why should we choose to be in the will of God and suffer the desires that we have? I'll tell you why. This passage tells us why. Verse number 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. As though some strange thing happened unto you. This is God saying, I already told you that when you choose me, the world will reject you. When you choose me, the world will not like it. When you choose me, you will lose friends. You will lose friends. I mean, the best of friends. I've lost some friends. And it hurts. It hurts when you don't think they would ever leave, and they decide to leave when you sell out for God. But God tells me right here, thinking not strange. I've already told you, it's going to happen. You will lose those friends. You might lose that job. You might not make that money. But let's look what happens. Let's look what happens. I thank God that I can rejoice in what God tells me in this passage. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. The perfect man. Christ's suffering. We're talking about the perfect man now. Christ is the perfect, sinless Son of God that came down. And a lady in this church gave me an article one time, and I loved it. It made me pour to tears. And it talked about the physical pain and suffering that someone goes through when their joints are pulled out, and when they're beat on, and when they beat you with the cat of nine tails, and when they pluck your beard out, and when they put that crown of thorn on your head, and when they hang you on that cross. Because he is love. Jesus Christ is love. Amen. We have desensitized the word love. I love pizza. I love this. I love that. It's desensitized. Just like Pastor says sometimes, we've desensitized hell. We've desensitized in this society the word sex. We've desensitized all these things that ought not be desensitized. Jesus Christ is love. And in this passage, it tells us that we are suffering with Christ, being as Christ, being Christ-like, choosing to suffer our flesh for Christ. Choosing to suffer to be like that perfect man who died for us. That perfect man who died for us, and it will bring us joy. We ought to be honored that we even have the opportunity to suffer with Christ. We ought to be honored that we even have the slightest opportunity to suffer as that perfect man suffered for us. Such a perfect, holy God. A perfect, holy God came down for someone like me. Someone who doesn't deserve him. Someone who doesn't deserve salvation. Someone who rejects him and breaks his heart over and over and over again. And he came down and he died for us. Because he is love. He is love. Every time someone gets behind this pulpit, it ought to say, Jesus is love, and Jesus loves you, and Jesus cares for you. And no matter what happens, look to the cross. Amen. Look to the cross. Some Christians will never truly see any type of light in this world because they haven't sold out to Christ. But friend, look upon the cross, and you will see a light in your life that you've never seen before. Look to the cross. And quit looking at all the distractions. And quit looking at all the bad things in your life. Because if all else fails, you ought to rejoice that you are saved. Amen. By the sinner, Son of God. If all else fails, if you're down in the lowest valley, if everybody in this church decides to say, we hate you, we're walking out, I can still say, thank you, God, for saving me. Amen. Thank you for saving my soul. Amen. When your friends reject you and push you away, you can still say, thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. I could shout all night about this. In Nahum chapter number 1, verse number 7, it says the Lord is good. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. That means when you are in that day of trouble, that very moment of trouble, he is your stronghold. But it also says he knoweth them that trust in him. What does your faith look like when that world decides to reject you? When you need to be crucifying your flesh? You have to have that faith. We ought to be honored that we can be suffering with Christ. Joy comes through that suffering. Joy can come when people hurt you. Joy can come when you feel all alone. All alone. I mean, when you're just down there, at that point in your life, maybe you're driving down the road or at your house, sitting in bed, and you're just crying and crying and crying and crying, and you're thinking, why does this happen to me? Why does this happen to my family? Why does this happen to my church? Why does this happen to me? Why does this happen? Why does this happen? Why does this happen? I said, we can still have joy in Jesus because he saved us. He saved us, friend. You ought to shout all day saying, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I don't have to die and go to hell no more. Amen. We throw a pity party. We throw a pity party and just say, why me? You ought to be honored that you get to crucify your flesh to be more like Christ. Amen. He gave us that opportunity to do that. That opportunity. It's not something that we need to say, oh, I surrendered to do this. I hate it when I hear, I surrendered to preach. I surrendered like God held you at gunpoint. God's a gentleman. You answered that call, and it's a privilege to be able to say, I get to preach the word of God. I don't deserve to be up here. I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. I don't deserve this. I sin all the time. I'm not even close to what I need to be for Christ. But he gave me this opportunity. I didn't have to surrender to this. Amen. I got to say, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. When the rest of my friends think I'm crazy, thank you for saving me and giving me the opportunity to preach your word. People watch how Christians react, friend. I said it a little bit earlier, but we a lot of times as Christians wait until after the miracle to say thanks. We wait until after the miracle to worship. In Matthew chapter number 15, there's a woman and her daughter is sick. And she goes to Christ and she asks and she wants her daughter to be healed. And if you go back and you read that passage, friend, she worships Christ before the miracle happens. Worshiping Christ is an act of faith. Amen. It's not an act of emotion. Amen. See, in today's world, we've learned that it's an act of emotion to lift your hand. When we're singing and you kind of feel it go down your spine, that's when it's time to stand up and lift your hands. Yeah. Friend, when you're broken, when you don't know why it's happening, when you're low down and you just feel like the lowest point in your life that has ever been there, that is when it's time to physically stand up in the house of God, lift your hands to heaven physically, friend, even when nobody else is doing it, when nobody else does it because the emotion's not there right now. But when you lift your hands and say, God, I'm going to worship you, because it's an act of faith. It's not an act of emotion. In this desensitized world of fake Christianity, I mean, there's no nice way to put it. They are going off of emotions. When they have all the music and all the feelings and all the this and all of that, they want you to sway back and forth. That's an emotion. It's easy to raise your hand in a church like that. It's easy to raise your hand in a church like that. I said it's easy to raise your hand and shout in a church like that. But it's a little bit harder to shout when you do it through faith.
Amen.
When you do it through the hard time. When you do it through the struggle. When you decide to say, I love you, Lord.
Amen.
I love you. I love you, God. I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you, God. I don't know what's happening, Lord, but I love you. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I love you. My people are turning against me, but I love you. My family turns against me, but I love you. My family, I don't know why this is happening, but I love you. I don't know why my kid is going through this, but I love you. I don't know why my spouse left me, but I love you. I don't know why this is happening, God, but you choose through faith to stand up and say, God, I love you. God, I love you. And then Jesus says, he healed the little girl. And he said, oh, woman of great faith. It was through her faith. It was through her saying in worship. It was through her saying, God, please help me. I have faith that you will do it.
Amen.
I have faith that you will do it. I don't have to see it happen before I say thank you. I can say no matter the outcome, you are God. No matter the outcome, you are God. And you can raise your hands and say, thank you, Lord. It was through faith. It was through faith that that woman's daughter was healed. It wasn't through something she did. It wasn't through attending church all the time. It wasn't through singing in the choir. It wasn't through preaching. It wasn't through this or through that or through whatever this world wants you to do inside here or whatever the people of God really just think that you need to be doing. It was through faith of her saying, I'm going to worship you no matter the outcome. No matter what happens, I will worship you because you are God and you love me and you care for me.
Amen.
I see a great rejoicing in this, friend. I mean, I see a great rejoicing in this. For we ought to, in verse 14 it says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and God resteth upon you. This is a good indication of where your heart is. Of where your heart is. Because your heart is deceitful above all. The Bible says that, not me. Your heart will deceive you. Your emotions will confuse you. If you live off of your feelings and emotions, boy, you'd be somewhere different every month. I mean, you'd be at this church one month, you'd be at that church the next, you'd be living in this state, you'd have that job tomorrow, you would love this family member today and that family member tomorrow. But we don't do it off of our emotions. So where is your heart tonight? Where is your heart? Because if your heart is in that relationship that we talked about earlier, the relationship you need with Christ and the relationship you need with your brethren, then once you are crucified in the flesh and rejected by that world, the happiness is still there. Amen. The happiness is still there. Even when you're down and low, like I said, there's still something in you saying, thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word. Thank you for the opportunity to come into this church. Thank you for everything you've done for me. Every one of us in here tonight got clothes on. I mean, thank God for that. We've all eaten. I hope we've all eaten today. I mean, some of y'all look like you've eaten more than others, but, you know. I love food. I mean, I've got a high metabolism. One day it'll catch up to me, and I'll probably be, like, really big. But we can thank God for the food. We can thank God for our cars. We can thank God for, I mean, everything we have, for your voice, for your hair. We forget to thank God and have that faith. Through the hard times, we forget that God blessed me with my clothes. God blessed me with my voice. God blessed me with my job. He blessed me with the vehicle I have to drive. Jesus Christ is good to you, friend. Amen. I see a rejoicing when you choose to crucify your flesh with Christ. So we ought to worship him no matter what. Your heart will indicate sometimes when you are rejected, your reaction. Where your heart is on the inside. Because it happens in the heart before it comes out of your actions. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, the Bible says. That's not me, that's the Bible. Which means it will happen inside of your heart before you decide to spout it out. Which means when you have an ought or something you shouldn't say, that determines where your heart is. If you have to think, should I say it, should I not? Should I say it, should I not? But no, it'll determine where your heart is. When that happens, it comes to your mind and you instantly say, Lord, get this out of my mind. Get this out of my mind. I don't want that. I don't want this. I don't want this to happen. And when people come against you, and when people push against, and when people just do what people do because we live in the flesh, this rejoicing should still be there. Because we have a God who loves us more than anything in this world. Amen. It does not matter what your friends say. It does not matter what your family says. It does not matter what the people you go to church with say. It does not matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what your mom and dad say. It doesn't matter what people are trying to get you to think or do or this or that. Jesus Christ loves you more than anybody else in this world, and he deserves, I said Jesus Christ deserves us to say, I will do whatever you want me to do. Amen. Because he is the only person that will never leave you. And will never forsake you. Amen. He will never leave you. Amen. And he will never forsake you. Jesus Christ will never leave you. And he will never forsake you. Amen. It does not matter where you're at right now in this house tonight. Somebody in here might be at their lowest point. But I am here tonight to tell you by the grace of God, Jesus Christ loves you. And he will never leave you. Nor forsake you. Ever. Because he is love. Amen. We should want to get the rejection. We should want to crucify the flesh. Because with that comes a true rejoicing. Later on down in this passage in verse number 15. The Bible says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief. Or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. So this joy will come, like I said, it's from the heart. This joy will come if you're doing it for the Savior. You see,
see, your intention is what God sees and nobody else can see. God can see the intents of your heart. He can see what you're thinking that you decide not to tell people. He can see when in your mind and in your heart you decide to lie to somebody. Or you decide to think something you shouldn't think. Or when you look like you're doing something magnificent and really it's just a deception. Jesus Christ knows the intent of your heart. He knows who you're trying to serve. And all the men in this world might pull you up the ladder and pull you up the ladder and pull you up the ladder and get you to the top and get you to the top. But the Bible tells us right here, don't do it as a busybody for men's work. Don't do it to please a man. Don't do it to please that man that you think can get you to the next step. Don't do it to please that man because you think they can help you. Don't do it to please that man. Do it for your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would rather offend every one of you. As long as Jesus Christ is not offended, that is what matters. If nobody else ever asked me to preach, I still have the opportunity to go downtown and walk around and say, let me tell you about Christ. Let me tell you about someone I know. Let me tell you about this. And the church hurt me, and the church did that, but guess what? My reaction is that God's still good.
Amen.
God's still good. God's magnificent. God is still good, friend.
Amen.
And He knows the intent of your heart. And sometimes, since the Bible says our heart is deceitful, that means it's tricking us.
That's right.
That means it has deceived you. Your heart has deceived you.
Yeah.
Not just you're deceiving other people, but your heart has deceived yourself. Think about that. Think about that. Sometimes your heart can trick you. That's weird, man. That's just weird in my brain because I'm just not the smartest guy in the world, I guess. But think about that. Your heart can deceive yourself.
Amen.
Yep. Just think about that for a minute. Your heart can deceive yourself.
Yes, it can.
Wow. Which means sometimes you got to open that heart. And you got to open that soul. And you got to come down to the altar. And you got to say, God, what is my intentions? What am I trying to do? What am I doing?
Yeah.
Where do I need to be? What is happening in my life? Am I doing this for you? There are times where, before I get up to preach, I have to say, God, take my pride. Like, I don't know if it's here or if it's not. I don't know if my heart's deceiving me. I don't know if this is my emotions or if this, I mean, it could be heartburn for all I know. But I want it to be a move of God. And I don't want to be deceived by my heart. Which means it's a constant, every day, check your heart. Check your intentions. Know your intentions. Let God tell you what your intentions are. Don't set them for yourself. Let God tell you what your intentions are. And when you choose Christ, friend, there's rejoicing in the end. Because God's good. And Jesus Christ came down and hung on a cross. And He was crucified. And He suffered and He died. For a low-down sinner like me and a low-down sinner like you.
Amen.
And above all things, thank God for salvation.
Amen.
Dear Lord, I thank You for this day. Thank You for another day of life. I thank You for giving me the opportunity to preach Your word, Lord. I pray that if there's anybody in here tonight that's struggling or doesn't know why this is happening or whatever it is in their life, that they would say, Lord, I need You. I need to come down and I need You. Or someone might be in here saying, I know that I haven't crucified my flesh for Christ. I know that I haven't decided to live in the perfect will of God for my life, and I'm choosing to walk the other direction. I pray that they would make a decision to say, thank You, God, for what You've done in my life, and choose to serve You and be sold out for You. Thank You. It's in Your Son's perfect precious name I pray. Amen.